Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now. Your inside look at local motorsports. What are you guys laughing about? Live from Las Vegas. What is it? August 10th already?
Yes, it is.
Sheesh. Can't believe it. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials get together and talk about local racing. That's what we like to do here. Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Gary White.
What's happening?
What's up, man?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Working.
You're airstreaming it again.
Yes, I am.
Still.
Hopefully that airstream goes away in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it did well for you. It's
going to do well for her.
That's
trust
right. Well, that's the main thing, right?
Yes.
Cool. Also,
we'll stop. Where you get time to get a new do?
Barely, yeah. I had to squeeze it in between.
Yeah.
It all burned off on the roof.
Yeah, exactly right.
Shit. If you keep staying up there, it's going to look like yours.
Yep.
It's on its way.
Yep.
Jeez. Speaking of you, Matt, 33, what's up, man?
It's hot.
Hot. That's it. That's this. That's it. It's hot.
Hot and busy.
Hot and busy. That's good. Yeah. Sounds like Gary's life and my life.
Yeah, we're up to like averaging 5 to 10 funerals a day.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone keep on, you know, COVID-ing, keeping business going.
Well, I don't know if it's COVID. It's probably partially the heat and stuff. Because I do work at a lot of work at the mortuary. There's a lot of bodies there, but none of them are hardly ever COVID related. I'm telling you.
I was at David.
Oh, yeah.
The one you were working at last week or the week before.
Yep.
Yeah, I was there a couple of days ago. There's just bodies in the hallway.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they were so overwhelmed. It's just,
remember,
it's just
this is a racing radio show. They're on wheels.
They are on wheels.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was. Because I had to go drop off paperwork, and there was gurneys in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then this younger gal, kind of skinny, she was just having the hardest time trying to get the one gurney into the elevator. And it was just back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, it's kind of, you're kind of standing there. It's like someone trying to park in the parking lot. Or you're just like, come on, turn it to the right. You're talking to yourself, turn it to the right, go a little bit to the left. Yeah, I was just kind of doing that. I'm like.
Well, that's once they get them in the elevator down in the basement area, there's more down there.
Yeah,
that's not even in the you know, the coolers.
No, that's what she said. She said that they're so overwhelmed. And I mean, you've seen the flower room, that little so it was full.
Yeah.
There was like no place. I've been.
I mean, sad.
Nobody
wants to hear about
full of flowers.
You know,
that I had to run flowers directly to the gravesite,
to the burial
out
area
to the
there.
Field,
because
there was no more room inside.
Wow.
So. Whatever, I'm making money, so.
Good.
Everyone can choose what they want to do, but I'm making money, so. I'm not complaining.
Well, they aren't either. Hey, on a lighter note, we got a great guest for you tonight, Jim Sherrard, man. What's happening? Sorry to start off with the, but it can only get better from here, right?
a little bit gloomy. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah. How you doing?
All right, man. How you been?
Good.
I missed the last show when he was here. So Cindy was here. So, So hope you weren't expecting Cindy. But if you were, then I'll apologize now. Because I'd rather talk to Cindy, too, than me. So
I'm glad you said that. And I didn't have to.
Yeah, big glad. Hey, I knew what you were thinking. So. But great, great. Thanks for being here. I missed a great show last time, I'm sure. So if I talk about a lot of the same stuff, it's because I wasn't
Not
here.
Not a problem.
We like to hear them over and over sometimes. So But,
me too.
But great. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Hey, we like to talk. But so you guys are talking about
so
stuff
before
I walked in.
So what were you doing earlier today, Matt?
No, not really.
What's that?
Wait, I missed it. You guys are talking about
two-speed powered line transmissions.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what we were talking about.
My woes with the
two. You run a two-speed?
Yeah, I've got we're in one of the 182 power glides.
Oh.
And lower range out there. And we were talking about some problems that I had with it coming apart.
Oh.
And the solutions that TCI has and whatnot, and what you guys run in the truck. So.
We got a nice one for you for $3,000.
That's about twice what I have in the car.
Right.
So,
you know, it's been a while for me, Jim.
He has just a transmission.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
I haven't seen you in a while, so you have to catch me up to speed. What have you been up to lately? And
not a whole lot. Been working a lot.
Have you been racing?
It's been about 2 months. Ended up getting sick. I raced last in Tonopah in May. And I ended up getting sick for a few weeks, not COVID.
So even if it was, you had a two-week period there, so we're good.
Yeah, no, not COVID.
You're not allowed to say you're sick, and you know, nowadays it's like, I just had a little headache, you know.
Yeah.
No, you have to say you have COVID.
Yeah. So I had 2 weeks off from racing with that, and then vacation time up in Duck Creek, Utah.
Oh man!
And then on the way down, I hit a deer with my truck. So.
Oh man!
So my truck's been in the shop for a month. So that kind of
did the deer get up and run off, or didn't make
it?
Oh no! Well, you hit a pretty good.
She came out of nowhere.
Oh man!
Yeah, she was. It didn't last long.
Were you hauling anything, or was it
no? Actually, we were coming down the mountain to go to yard sales. Down the cedar.
See what race parks was in the yard sale.
That's what I was thinking.
So you threw the gear and went back to the yard sale and tried to sell it. No,
apparently that's illegal.
You thought about it and called on it.
We're up there. There was obviously no cell service where I was at, and so we went down to Cedar and we went to the highway patrol down there.
Did your truck drive?
Just cosmetics.
Wow.
But I had asked him. I was like, should I have picked it up? He's like, oh no, you leave it there. I'm like,
really?
He said it was illegal in Utah to pick him up.
Was it out in the street, though, or did it make it across?
She actually
hit it. Yeah.
Moved far enough that she was on the other shoulder. So
that's
it was,
crazy. Didn't you say you hit?
Oh, I almost.
Almost? Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. I almost hit one, but it wasn't up there.
It was
up there.
Going up. I was going up towards Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So I was going up Summit. Yeah, and coming down the other side of Summit. Just out of nowhere. When they say that a deer in a headlight, that's exactly what he did.
Right, froze,
and all you saw was those eyes reflecting back.
And
they stay there.
I hope this guy knows how to swerve.
Yeah. This one, she was on the move. She came out of nowhere.
Wow.
I mean, I was doing the speed limit. I had seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I was paying attention. And
no airbags went off.
No.
Luckily.
No.
So you got slowed down enough.
Yeah,
that sucks.
You need to put more lights on your truck, like Cindy.
Yeah, we got some of those little whistle things. We'll see if they work.
Right.
We were up there quite a bit. So.
Well, gee, at this point, we should open up a track in Duck Creek since like half of the racers all have cameras in there.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is when you start getting up closer there, your racing starts getting put to the back, the back of your priority list. So.
Yep. But
you guys get a cabin up there, or you guys camp?
We're looking for land up there.
Oh, yeah.
Her sister's got a property up there, and her brother just purchased one up there, so.
Are they still pretty reasonable? It's funny because I think I was telling Gary a while back, I was looking up there.
It was like 18, 20 years ago that Duck Creek, they had that, you were buying whatever parcels of land or whatever, and it was like super cheap. It was like 15 grand, 20 grand. It was something stupid.
And last time I was looking, it was like 40 grand. It had like a rundown cabin on it. And now it's probably $200,000.
Exactly. But I remember, when Pahrump, they were giving away, 1 acre parcels for 5 grand? Come on down.
Yeah.
And now, you can hardly find anything out there.
You can find it, but it's so far to like water and power and everything.
Right.
Well, that's how it is. Kyle Canyon. There's all that land up on Kyle Canyon Road, but it's all raw land. There's no water or anything. But I mean, Sky Canyon is only a mile away, and they already have housing there. So
won't be long.
If you want to take a gamble and get some good land, I mean, the prices are pretty decent now. You get some land, and you'd have to hold it for a couple of years. But I think the water rights would move up there.
Yeah, it depends on, too, like how close the power is or something like that, how much it would cost to get it onto your property, I guess. But
yeah, that's a whole other story there. We found a beautiful property up there. It's like a half acre or whatnot, and just up from the village. I could walk out to the road and see the village, the meadows and everything. It's a beautiful view. And there was so much lava rock there that it was like three times more than the land to get everything in it because they won't do power overhead anymore. It's all got to go underground. And they were talking about if they were going to do water, they had to come from the other side of the street. So they had to dig up the street and it was going to be tore up for 2 weeks. I'm like, it's a dirt road.
Right.
You know?
Well, water sewer is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Electric, you can... You know,
and the septic was compromised.
Right.
It was on the land too. It wasn't certified when they put it in, and it was a big mess. So we're kind of like,
but how many race cars can you fit on the property?
Right.
That's the main thing.
True story. I don't know if someone went down that mountain would be it.
That probably wouldn't be fun.
Trail.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, hopefully you find something.
Mm-hmm.
Get some relaxation, and Gary and I can borrow it once in a while.
There you go.
Yeah.
You might have to talk to my girl
about
that.
We'll match. No.
I have to sweet talk her.
We need someone to go get firewood.
Right?
Matt. Yeah. We need someone for firewood.
That would take away from racing time, though, right? Right, Gary?
You wouldn't
want that.
No.
You were just talking
can't
about boating the other day. I mean, that's even worse.
Can't take away from racing.
Boating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to put a boat? You have a better chance of putting a pool in your backyard and have a boat than Lake Mead.
Yeah.
I heard the water was up a little bit out there, no?
From the rain, a little bit.
I don't know. I haven't been out there in a while.
16th of an inch.
That's up.
Yeah. No, it's up a 16th of an inch, but it dropped 4 feet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, so I guess you got to weigh that.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't raced in a... You've been racing at Pahrump, is that where?
Mainly.
What division?
The hobby stock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got?
It's a mid-80s metric Monte Carlo.
Oh, okay.
It was actually originally an asphalt car somewhere. I got it off of a friend and started working on it, changing it over to dirt. So,
is the division out there pretty decent?
They usually have at least a dozen cars.
Oh, wow. Cool. So, are the cars pretty equal, I guess, in a lot of ways. There's always those gray areas that people like to stretch.
Based on their facial expressions.
And you run the stock body, is that part of the rules? Or
yeah,
you run the slab bodies? gray area again, right?
You could do sheet metal bodies, but they need to appear stock.
Close to stock as possible.
They basically try to follow the IMCA hobby stock rules.
Oh, okay. Isn't that what they're kind of mimicking that? Because they were IMCA sanctioned at some point, so they were
the
IMCA
modified
hobby stocks.
Actually, I don't think they ever.
You know, they ever were.
I don't think
it was
they
just
ever
when they were. It was when they
just the modified.
Okay.
For a while, and now they're not carrying the sanction. They're modified anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
They follow it pretty closely. We were hoping that everybody would kind of go to the same rules. Tonopah's a little bit different. They allow they allow some stuff where Pahrump doesn't, and then vice versa. Like Pahrump will allow adjustable spring spacers, but Tonopah doesn't allow them. But you can run G60s in Tonopah, and you have to run narrow street tires in Pahrump.
They don't make it easy for the racer, do they?
Yeah.
Well, how far is Tonopah from Pahrump? I mean, that's got to be still a haul.
It's not too bad. I think it's under 4 hours from
really?
Vegas.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was like 6 hours.
It's not bad.
Huh.
It's a pretty decent drive.
So do you get a draw from Tonopah and vice versa? There's a lot of guys from Pahrump race up in
Tonopah. Because they run a short season.
Okay.
In Tonopah, it's a lot colder up there. Yeah, they were on one race a month. I believe six races.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's kind of nice because then these guys, you know, we have a chance to rebuild the cars or work on what we need to in between races. Whereas in Pahrump, every other week.
Right.
You know,
so, yeah, they race,
tough.
What, 20 something races?
Yeah, I think it's 22 races.
Yeah. They race 52 races a year, though.
Yeah.
Not really. 22 to 26.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did any of them ever fall under the Tonopah?
No, Tonopah basically scheduled in between.
They wait,
yeah, they make sure so they can draw back and forth. So, but before Tonopah season started, we would get pretty decent draw from Tonopah.
Interesting. Okay.
And it'll probably pick up, I would say, after their season.
What are the Tonopah divisions they have?
I know they run sport mods.
Okay.
The hobby stocks, they run a street stock class, mini stocks, mini dwarfs.
Oh, wow.
And they'll run modifieds if they've got enough. I believe if you can bring six cars, they'll run.
So. When you've been up there, I mean, have you raced a lot of races up there this year?
No, just the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was the car count up there?
It was awesome.
Really?
17 cars.
No kidding.
So,
wow. I wonder if they get guys from up north too.
Yeah, I believe
Green.
So.
Okay.
There are quite a few. There's actually quite a few races from Goldfield.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And we had quite a few from Pahrump come up to it.
Huh.
But they had good draw. It was nice. It's a whole different track surface than Pahrump.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a good way or bad? I mean, it's different. I'm sure.
Well, it's weather.
It's sandier, yeah. I think.
Really.
But. I don't know. My car liked it, so I'm not really.
It's good for you.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
It's very reminiscent of Death Valley Raceway. Their surface.
Oh, okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Is it as flat as kind of Death Valley Raceway?
I'd say it's got a little more bank.
Okay.
I've never been there. Not much.
You've been there,
right?
I've never been to Tonopah.
They recut it this year.
Okay.
Did they?
Yeah, they said they did change it. I think they put a little more banking in at least three and four. So,
do you know if they brought dirt in from somewhere else, or they just
they were talking about it? I don't think they were able to do it yet, but they were talking about the other side of the highway from them. Actually, there was some kind of construction or whatnot, and they were trying to round up a trucking company that would bring the dirt over, more of a clay.
Yeah, because I know nothing about dirt surfaces, dirt compounds, dirt mixes. Obviously,
right.
It's different back east and up north and down south and west. So, you know, I don't know if any, like, locally, if that, you know, like you're saying, if they can bring something close by, that would be more tacky or versus sandy.
Yeah, they could definitely use something that will hold a little more moisture in it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the car liked it, and
cool.
I wasn't complaining.
And then you had to run the G60s up there?
You don't have to. You can run street tires if you want, but I was able to round up enough used ones to...
Would you rather run the G60s?
Yeah.
So what the G60 is a Hoosier G60 now.
Right.
It used to be, obviously, you know, American Racer back in the day, but it's the Hoosiers now. And usually when you find them, they're takeoffs of like a modifier or something like
that's
that.
Where I got mine,
so they're, you know, they're a little more wore out, I think. But you know, for asphalt that would be okay. But I wouldn't know, you know, how they work on the being a little
wore out. As long as they're not like real weather checked, they seem to and as long as they hold air, they seem to be all right.
Seems pretty good.
It's a little different, obviously, between the two trucks because you're running a narrow street tire in Pahrump. And you can't run the air pressures down as far as you can, you know, so you can run them a lot softer and it makes them even wider and gives them more, you know.
So it's probably better at, let's say, a soft track like Tonopah to run the wider tire than it would be a street tire.
Yeah.
Huh.
There were a couple of them actually from Tonopah that were still running street tires and
they did pretty
well.
They
were doing all right.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. You guys are allowed to prep the tires at all?
No.
Or are they just,
no.
Or at least they say you can't.
Right. Well, yeah. Yes.
The
rules say no.
But they're not checking the tires.
The rules say no.
Yeah.
But,
how is the checking up there? I mean, they have pretty, I mean, you know, I've never been there. So that's why, you know, I know you've been there as a spectator.
Yeah, but, yeah, just as a, we didn't even go in the pits.
Oh, okay.
We just,
you know, I don't know what their process is there for checking stuff. Are they pretty strict up there? Or?
Most of the stuff they checked on mine the first time there was obviously safety stuff.
Safety stuff,
yeah.
Yeah. Well,
wanted to see helmet and the neck brace.
Right.
You know, they looked at the cage a little bit and
cool. That's good.
Made sure.
Glad to hear that.
You know, I run the Hans, so.
Oh, okay. Do they have a safety, ambulance and stuff on?
They actually had a new one that race. It was a new one for this year,
okay.
And I forget the name of it. But they were on it. It's a nice. I believe it was a private company.
Oh, cool.
That they brought on. I don't know if they were paying them or if,
right.
You know, if it was a sponsorship thing or whatnot, but they were on it. I think it's a group that does off-road races mostly.
Oh, cool.
So I think that actual race was their first one at the track,
right.
But they were real good.
That involvement, you know, from off-road and stuff.
You know, their ambulance and all their equipment is beautiful. I mean, they were pretty top notch.
Yeah, they're wondering, like, why do they think our ambulance is so nice? This is standard for us. We're used to, like, seeing a pickup truck with a tarp over it.
1831.
Right. Chad's actually got a fire truck now.
Oh,
I think, yeah.
Really?
An old fire truck ambulance, whatnot.
Oh, nice.
Out there, so it kind of stepped it up a little bit.
And I guess they are they volunteers that do the safety out there? I don't know if they get paid or.
I would assume it's volunteer.
Yeah.
I think most of the staff is volunteers.
I know,
association.
Like, in the back, like a while ago, like Chuck D. Guerrero had a good idea about like putting some money for that night from, you know, the purse or something,
uh-huh.
Or entry, like even if it's a dollar or whatever,
yeah.
Goes from everybody that could go towards, you know.
Each driver
pitch in.
Extra $5 that goes to the
staff. Medical staff,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something.
I'm sure you're not going to get many drivers that won't pay that.
Right.
You know?
I would pay. I would rather have at least some of that money go towards something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. I haven't been to Pahrump in a while. I haven't never been to Tonopah Raceway or whatever they call it. I don't know if it's called Tonopah Speedway.
It's probably been 8 years since I've been up there.
Wow. So we need to make a trip up there.
Next weekend?
Is it
2 days, Friday and Saturday?
Oh.
Next weekend?
Yep.
Or is it the 22nd or
21st? 20th and 21st. They're running Sport Mods, Hobby Stocks, and Mini Stocks.
That's crazy, huh?
2 weekends.
Yeah, not this weekend,
yeah.
The following one.
Right,
20th and 21st. So it should
are you
be
racing up there?
Yeah. But I'm planning to, as long as I don't turn.
So they do a 2-day show for all divisions or?
Yeah. Yeah, all three.
Oh.
So,
okay.
And they typically run, like I said, the Mini Dwarfs up there. I think Pahrump canceled the Mini Dwarfs this weekend because the track was underwater.
Oh. Hey, is it still like soaking wet Pahrump?
Yeah, they canceled last week's race or the week before.
Yeah, yeah, the week before they canceled that one.
They could have boat races.
Yeah, it was full.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, I went up there the day after all that, and I go out to my brother's place, and man, you want to talk about a war zone? Those roads were, I mean,
bad.
Oh, it was bad. The highway was just washed out. Just
oh, really?
Miles. Yeah.
Oh.
No,
but they said
that they
got hit really bad.
Yeah.
Especially that Thursday night, or whatever, when we got nothing here, and it just
they got that
15
minutes of
it just all hit
downpour.
Yeah, yeah, and it just ran down the mountain there. And
that's crazy.
And anything on 160 and up above it was just washing down there.
Wow.
Because a couple of the casinos had washed out. It was pretty rough.
That's what I'd be afraid of if I lived in Peru. If I had to get stuck in, I couldn't get out. Helicopter me out. No, I'm just kidding. To the people who live in Peru, it's a joke. I'm just kidding.
Just head over to the LMTS helipad.
Yeah, right. We'll go hang out at that.
Gary be like, I got you.
Spring Mountain track out there. Yeah. You know, I haven't been in Peru, like I said, so I should take a trip out there. Are you running for any kind of points at any of those places?
No,
no, just for fun whenever you make it.
Yeah, I kind of made a promise to myself and to my girlfriend at the beginning that I don't need to do every race.
That's why you still have a girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
You got points racing.
That, there's some truth to that. 2009 is the lower age.
Oh, no.
It's rough on a relationship, let me tell you.
Well, speaking of that, you were racing bombers back then.
Mm-hmm.
And were you, you were points racing, obviously, back
mm-hmm.
then?
I was.
That was your ex-girlfriend now, right?
Yeah. Not specifically for that.
Right.
Reason, but it is, it's rough on family when you're...
Only 75%.
Right. Yeah, it gets rough, you know, and my kid suffered the most. You know, he was little then, and
right.
it was tough because Sunday morning, you know, he's like, Dad, let's go do something. I'm like, you know, on the couch.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Well, back then, we were getting done at midnight,
yeah.
you know, 1
well,
o'clock.
Yeah,
and, you know.
I mean, we would be there for 12 hours in that
right.
heat, and then when you're in the car,
yeah, you're beat. Yeah.
150 degrees in the car, you know.
And you got to race against guys like this.
This is
and,
true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Did you ever race against Gary?
I do.
Tell me some of the things you didn't like about him.
Gary liked to stay on the bottom.
Ah, he could
he's
bottom,
a bottom feeder.
He's a bottom feeder, okay.
Yeah. I made the old Chevelle run in the second group, so.
Well, I guess that's the key. If you can't get somebody where their line is, make another line.
Tough to get around. You had to get him on the outside.
Yeah. So you think that's true, that you race the bottom quite a bit? You like the bottom?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay,
I remember
watching JJ. He'd race just above the bottom, so you couldn't get below him and you couldn't get above him.
I'd get halfway up, and halfway, not the bottom, but about
right.
half a car length up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works for you.
Scott's whole Cadillac was that way. Yeah. Remember that thing? He'd get it, what was it, 72?
So if he would get that sideways, you couldn't get around because
exactly.
the whole track would be
exactly.
big four door.
Yeah,
like JJ's tuna boat, man. He
get
that thing sideways.
Not, so.
There's no top or bottom. You can't get nowhere.
Yeah. With the long wheelbase on them, they were fast loose too, so they were always sideways.
And that big tuna boat in Pahrump, man, when you were following him and he got that thing sideways in the corner,
just sit back and wait for the gate to open.
Yeah,
you just had to wait and see if he messed up to get it.
Because you can't go up there in the third groove, especially
right.
in Pahrump, because
right.
it's so soupy and muddy and everything else up there. You just soar into the wall if you try to get up there.
That's what I like about those big cars. It made it fun to watch the bomber division.
It was it was more fun. Longer wheelbase.
Not all this super stock shit.
Exactly. Start getting more serious and put more money into it.
I remember when they're like, oh, we're going to a carburetor rule to make it all level ground. And I'm like, you realize how much money you can put into a 40-part 12.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Not doing us any favors there, you know. Make me run the quadri-junk. I'll run it.
Exactly, right. Run your stock car for that model or whatever.
And then they shorten the wheelbase rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I thought was a mistake.
I thought was a mistake when they started letting spring spacers and race springs and all that other stuff. You might as well
stock,
go to a
now
super
stock. Stock appearing, It's like, make it stock. Not stock appearing. Stock.
Yeah, back in the day, you were only allowed to cut your spring to get to ride height.
Right.
And it can't be 100 pounds over what stock is.
Right.
You know?
Well, and obviously when they first started with the bomber division at the Bullring, they were supposed to be an enduro type class.
Right.
And they were going to be made to run 100 laps, you know, wet or not wet or whatever it was going to be.
Yeah,
I remember, we built the Monte Carlo. It was a 305. It wasn't a 350, but it was
Back then, it was fast.
Right. It was. We wanted it to last 100 laps. That was the point, not to be the fastest, but to out, you know. But
you mean stock car racing?
Yeah.
With stock cars?
Right.
Figure.
Yeah. Right. I like stock car. I like the
well,
the
see, that's, what I, that's what I remember
stock.
When I was younger, go out to the suburbs of Chicago.
Right.
Same thing. It would be like a small Pahrumpy, tonopah type track.
Yeah.
And there was a dirt track and it was stock cars. It was guys pulling crap out of the junkyard, tossing an engine in it, toss a roll cage.
Right.
Go.
It won't be long before they call those like stock cars vintage class.
Right.
The vintage cars.
We used to watch a class up in Colorado, Colorado National Speedway, I think. Either that or Rocky Mountain National. Which one was the dirt one?
I wasn't at the dirt one. I was at the pavement one.
Yeah, the dirt track they had up there was a half mile, and they had a class called Colorado Cruisers.
No way.
And it was literally, you know, bring it in, four-point cage.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it had to be, you know, it had to be so big or whatever. And they would do different stuff with them, but they all had a claim on them.
Oh, that's cool. That's
and
a good
was,
idea.
I think it was like $450,
wow.
Right? And it wasn't for the drivers. It was people in the crowd.
Oh.
So they would all stop after the race on the front stretch.
And anybody could claim.
Anybody could come down with $450
and
that car. You had to sell it to them or you'd lose points for for the season. So it was great. It was a great race.
Was there a lot of claiming going on? Did you?
You know, we didn't see a whole lot of it,
yeah.
but
it's good to know it's there.
But it was
yeah.
an encouragement for someone
yeah.
in the stands. They was
right.
like, well, yeah, maybe we'll try it.
I mean, hey, we'd like to do that.
Well, so. Remember when we went to Reno, there was somebody from back east somewhere. They had a sport compact class that was something like that. Like the winner after the season or after the race.
After the race, somebody can claim his car.
They can claim it
yeah.
for, like, I don't know, whatever it was.
Some ridiculous
yeah,
amount.
Like $500
yeah.
bucks or something. I don't know. But
I think that track was in Texas because they wasn't
okay.
allowed. They can only race four cylinders there. They couldn't race something bigger than four
right.
cylinders.
That's what it
at
was.
At this particular track you're talking
and
about.
And I guess they I don't know if they had to claim or something like that. It was something weird, like they had to claim or they had to swap or something weird. Like you had
right.
to do it. You couldn't like get away from it.
Gotcha.
And it was pretty weird. But yeah, it's a good idea.
Putting a lot of money into the car.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You could lose it. So.
You know, but you know, a lot of the even the mods used to have claimer. You know, there was claimer class and stuff, but you wouldn't see any claiming
right.
going
like,
on.
Like
so.
The racer's code.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
I don't know. There's all these different ways to try to limit the amount of money people spend, but there's always something somebody's going to do
right.
no matter what. But what made you get away from bombers? I mean, did you just stop for a while?
Well, I crashed pretty early.
That was a lot of times.
2012, I had a pretty substantial crash. And
what was your car? It was a Capri or
Caprice. It's the one that Jacob Quartaro's running now.
Okay.
No, it actually survived
44, right?
Yeah,
that's cool. The white 44.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be blue, number 13. So, but yeah, I crashed it pretty hard, and that slowed things down. And I was like, you know,
was it because you didn't want to rebuild it? Was it kind of a physical, mental thing? Like, hey, that opened my eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to kind of back off for a little bit.
Physical and mental thing.
Yeah.
You know, my kid was getting older. And
right.
Maybe I should tone this down a little bit, you know.
Did your kid used to come to the races?
Yeah.
During that time? Was he scared that, you know?
No, not too much. Actually, I don't think he was there that night.
Oh, that's good.
And ironically, my mom was.
Oh, that sucks.
It was the first race that I managed to.
Mom, come on, watch
the
race. It's safe. Trust me.
I managed to convince her to come out and watch it. It was the first one since my dad passed. And of course, that happened.
That happened.
It was a mess.
The last time she came to watch you race.
Yeah, it certainly was. She's like, nope, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But, she, you know, she watched my dad race for 20, 25 years.
Cool. Was that where you got your...
Yeah, dad racing dirt tracks back home.
Oh, okay.
So,
the real racing back there.
Yeah, we grew up with it.
Cool.
Up in Gillette, Wyoming.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that was a track surface.
Or,
it was all old oil field.
Oh,
surface.
No way. Oh,
it was kind of like
tacky,
Bakersfield.
Huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh,
that's crazy.
You want to talk about sticking... I mean, you'd stick to the track after the race.
Well, you can't walk on it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
cool. That was something else there.
What age were you when you used to go watch your dad? Do you remember?
Oh,
young.
Yeah, and all the way through my teens.
No kidding.
Yeah, until
did you ever think you were going to get into a race car back then? I mean, did you watch or did you help? It helped a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't have a choice.
Well, so, I mean, sometimes kids like.
No, we enjoyed it.
You know, sometimes kids like nowadays are there, but they don't really get their hands dirty and work on the stuff. They just
because kids
don't.
Yeah.
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 And
that's
nothing
true.
Wrong with that.
Don't
it's
care.
Not for everybody.
I'll tell you that the motivator for me was once the car's loaded up, all the tools are put away, everything's done. then you know, you got to sit and have a beer with the men.
Yeah, cool.
And that was just one beer.
Right,
but
right.
We had worked for that beer. It was Miller High Life. Of
right.
All but we had worked for that beer, and that was the motivation, just
that's
to be
cool.
To be one of the men, you know.
Just hang
there.
Out,
after,
right.
Yeah,
you earn it, and
afterwards.
I get to sit at the adult table.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, that's what
cool.
It was.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we enjoyed
the
whole aspect of it, but that was, all right, let's get this done.
Really?
You know?
That's cool.
So,
What class was your dad running?
He ran, back then it was called like D stock or street stocks.
It was a street stock type class.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're doing now, a hobby stock.
Yeah, probably more of a street stock class. You know, they could run. I think they were able to run like 10-inch rims and, you know, back then the American racers were actually McCreary's.
You're right. We're exactly McCreary's.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that. That was a big deal when we finally got some race tires. But,
McCreary, brand new McCreary's.
Right? Yeah. So, but yeah, I would say it's probably close to like IMCA stock car.
That's cool.
But like they ran bigger, wider tires on them still. So.
Do you remember back then like any other divisions that really caught
oh,
your
yeah.
interest?
Oh, yeah.
Know, was it like they...
what they call super late models now, which is
right.
late models then. And they had like what was called a limited stock.
Yeah. It's something.
Sprint cars, of course.
Right.
They actually had an inline 6-cylinder modified class.
Oh,
for
that's
a while
pretty
too,
cool.
Which was
that is
pretty
real
awesome.
Cool. Because you probably had back then. You probably had a lot more inline 6.
Yeah, they were plentiful.
Yeah, I mean you had Dodges, you had
yeah.
Chevys, you had Fords. They all had these.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
It was pretty amazing the amount of power they could get out of those.
Right, and they're probably
yeah.
bulletproof too. I know.
Yeah.
You know, I know some of those things are solid
well,
motors.
Yeah, for side to side racing. You know,
right.
For racing. You know,
that would have been
inline.
Cool. I
yeah.
wish I would have been around to see something like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a great track. I got a lot of good memories at that track. Yeah, Dad won, I'd say maybe 8 championships out there.
Hands off the trophies, right?
Yeah, he was good at what he did.
That's cool.
Yeah, he got into it was the one race we ran on the half mile. We were filling in for somebody, and he ran Shannon's car. Do you remember that?
At the
Vegas. Yeah, we were running filler for somebody.
What are they calling the Thunder?
No, you're talking about
the Bombers. Was it for the modified?
I thought it was for the World of Outlaw cars, wasn't
okay.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, no
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it was, because I remember.
That's cool.
I remember coming around the track, and you can see these, like, world-famous sprint car drivers
right.
hanging off the fence watching us. Right.
No way. That's cool. That's
that
neat.
Was pretty awesome. But yeah, he borrowed a car, and... he just stomped us. He told us he was going to. Both Harold and I, he just ran away
it's
from us.
It's true enough, right?
Yeah. He never lost it.
That's cool.
Well, he's the one that, when I got my first win with that Chevelle, he's the one that told me he's going to have to show me how to do it.
Wow.
He told me that flat out. And so one weekend, I was, you know, I'd had enough of racing for the time being and the kids to Disneyland. And my dad's like, you know, the Tuesday before, he's like, hey, I'm going to take your car out this weekend.
No way.
I'm like, okay.
Sure. I'll be at Disneyland. Anyway.
Yeah, and this thing's like, let me show you how to get it done.
That's funny.
So we get a call at midnight on Saturday while I'm at Disneyland. And I'm like, oh, great. This can't be good, you know.
Right, get the phone call.
You know, Dad wrecked the car or something. And he's like, here, your dad, my mom's like, your dad wants to talk to you. He's like, I told you I had to show you how to get it done.
that was
a DVR.
Yes.
So now your bars have to go get set higher.
There's still video of most of that race on YouTube.
That is cool.
Deborah Gerald.
Yeah.
But
no way.
That was the first time we won with that car. And then I actually won the Fall Classic the week after that.
So he put some good mojo in that car for you.
We got it sorted out.
Well, then, of course, then that steps up your game. You're like, man, if Dad can do it. I gotta show up here to this race.
Well, exactly, but I'm sure it's also kind of a peace of mind when you you know, you overthink. Is it the car? Is it me? Is it this? Is that? But if Dad was able to win it in the car, so then you're like, well, I know the car's capable, so now I need to work on me.
Yeah.
So then you're not spending all your time changing something that necessarily doesn't need to be changed.
Right.
Yep.
Now that's cool. That's cool. She went out and showed you how it's done, because that's how it should be. The old guy should get out there and say, hey, listen, stop. Not that you were whining or anything, but stop crying. Just do it.
No, he told me flat out. He was showing how to get it done. But he was a driver.
And you were probably relieved at Disneyland. All right.
Yeah, I was nervous when I saw the phone call. But he was one of the few drivers that I know that could actually drive anything and overcome whatever.
Right,
you
adjust
know.
To whatever.
Because I've seen him, when I was a kid, I've seen him race some junk.
Right, it made it work.
He knew how to compensate for whatever, you know.
Some guys are really good at that. They just have a knack to adjust. You know, they can, they just have a feel for that car
and
whatever they're driving.
He was the best at adapting. I mean, like I say, when he ran Shannon's car, he never set foot in the car. And
that's crazy.
He got out there and stomped.
That's cool.
So.
when you look at like old NASCAR, Cale Yarbrough, those kind of people, they're just, they can drive anything. Just put me in a car. I don't care.
Yeah. He put his leather helmet on.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you got to look back at like some of the things that like guys like your dad and them guys you raced and how they raced. I mean, they were, you know, living on edge when they were racing.
We
got all this safety.
It was very outlaw.
And it's good, like you said, you were wearing Hans devices, which is great. You should. But back then, you're lucky if they wore a fire suit, if they did at all,
Yeah, I remember a time when it was just a fire suit jacket.
Right.
Or
just a jacket.
Or
a blue jeans.
Jacket,
work boots.
Right.
Leather gloves.
That's crazy. So, no, that's cool. Well, it sucks you got out of racing after a wreck, but, maybe it's a good thing it happened. Sometimes, it's one of those blessing in disguises where you just step back a little bit and kind of,
The money factor too, it's not cheap to do it. And especially with the bombers,
today's
bombers. They've gotten out of hand.
Today's bombers. Even back then, if you think about when you get into bomber racing or whatever division you get into the class that you can afford the most.
Right.
And it's always at the highest level. You're like, man, I can barely afford to race this, but to make it happen, you know? So yeah, you're right. The money thing.
Yeah. When they started making the changes and whatnot. And, people were just dumping ridiculous amounts.
Did you go watch, after that?
I go once in a while.
You were like, man, I got to get out there. I want to get out there.
Sometimes. Because, there's still some of the same BS that's always going to be at the racetrack. It doesn't matter what track you're at, And some of that I don't miss from the bowling itself. I did enjoy the punctuality of it, I guess, or the schedule.
Right.
Because that's one thing that you miss when you go to, especially Pahrump, is there's no set times. I knew exactly what time I needed to be to tech. I knew when I needed to be to practice. And if you weren't there, then you're ass out.
Right.
That's a
good point. Maybe that's one of, because we always look, we're talking about some of the differences between asphalt racing and dirt racing, where dirt racing seems more fun and relaxed, and maybe that's part of it. The schedule is, you got to do this at this time, because it's a tight schedule.
Well, I think that they could still do that. Obviously, you're going to have a little bit of leeway with track prep.
Sure.
You've got to run the track in, and sometimes they water too much, sometimes not enough. So, that'll vary a little bit, but they should have just, time limit on the race, so many laps or so much time, who needs intermissions, I understand giving the drivers a few minutes to handle what they need to handle, but keep the show moving along, it's not late nights. Who wants to be there that late, by the end of the show, they're losing their crowd because
they're tired of sitting there and
given them a half hour to 45 minutes of intermission where they're sitting there doing nothing.
Right.
You've given them a chance to get bored. So
that's true.
But, that didn't happen at the bowling because they were on it.
Yeah.
So I do miss the punctuality of the schedule because there's something to be said for that. But On the same token, it was still a 12-hour day.
Right, exactly. they squeezed as much in that
12-hour day
as possible.
And just ruined you for the next day. So, the dirt tracks are, you're right, it's a little more relaxed. I think it's more of a family atmosphere, although, you know, again, you still have this same stupid rivalries
yeah.
and people being the way they are
right.
And whatnot. But seems like more of a kind of a relaxed atmosphere after the races and whatnot.
Sure.
So,
How long was it? How many years was it till you got back into racing again?
See, I stopped in 13, and then this year was the first year back.
Oh, wow.
So,
it's been a while, huh?
Yeah.
No
kidding.
It
took about a year to build the car, so.
No kidding.
But,
did you have any thoughts of getting back into the bomber division itself, or done with it? Yeah.
Well, I do have to say, when I saw my old car, which is
yeah.
Jacob's car, come up on Marketplace for free, get it out of the storage
yeah.
lot, I was like, maybe I'll go back to bomber racing.
Yeah, I did.
So they called
yeah.
the guy, and he's like, yeah, somebody's already on their way.
So you did make the phone call.
Yeah. So if the car had still been available, then yeah, maybe I would have went back out. But
I'm the previous owner.
Yeah. But he's doing good with it.
That's
know.
Cool. You know what? You know, pass the torch, let somebody
yeah.
else race, and they're doing well in it. So
yep.
that's cool.
Yep.
That's really cool. So do you like getting into the division that you're in? Because it's different. Obviously, mm-hmm. you're allowed a little bit more, in something like that. But it's also dirt versus asphalt.
Yeah, I think it's
Have you raced a lot of dirt before this?
No.
I mean, well, like, just not just being around it, but in the bombers.
Yeah,
we
ran quite a few times in Perome.
Oh, okay.
But I started in Perome.
Oh,
I had,
I didn't know
the
that.
First, yeah, the first car I had was in a 91 Crown Vic P71.
Oh, cool.
Cop car.
Ah, sweet.
It was literally a cop car.
Make Gary happy, right?
Was
it a V8?
Yeah, it was a 4.6.
Fuel injection or carburetor? So,
yeah.
They loved fuel injection at one point out there, didn't they, I think?
Joe Rogers was the promoter at that point, and I checked with him before I actually bought the car.
That's cool.
And he said, as long as it's safe. And I'm like, well, I do wiring for a living, so
it'll
be safe. So, we ran that. My brother and I switched off for about half the season running it in 07. And it was a good car. We beat the hell out of it. And
it's always fun to beat the hell out of a Ford.
I did kill the car, so it didn't take it for very long.
It can be killed. Pretty soon, though, we'll have to have Matt bring it flowers.
So basically, when my brother and I got into the racing again, we did it because we could involve Dad. So we started out there, and they were only open a year, and then they ended up shutting down.
Right.
So then it was like, okay, what are we going to do now? You know,
we'll
have to go to the bull ring, and that's when we went to the bull ring. I did run the Crown Vic once at the bull ring.
That's cool.
But I couldn't keep tires on it.
Used
tires.
Right.
Which is fine for the dirt.
Right, right.
That didn't last very long. After I blew up the engine in the cop car, then that's when I rounded up the Chevelle.
But you started out
in dirt.
Did you ever race against your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. What did he end up racing you against?
He had he started off with an old Catalina. That was an old car of JJ's somebody's.
Catalina. Oh, you don't hear that often.
Yes, it was. The blue one, right?
Yeah, it was originally blue.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was JJ's teammates. Anthony Findlay and Wade Pearson's.
Gotcha.
Yep. It was originally theirs, and then I guess Harold ended up with it.
Yeah. And actually, JJ and you and Wade. You guys are responsible for getting us into this in the first place.
Oh, man. You ruined his life. You ruined his love life.
Yeah, so we were out there. Because I remember you guys had like a meet and greet or something. Or
really?
We were all lined up on the front stretch, all the bombers. And we were yelling something to JJ, and he come up to the fence, and he's like, hey, you guys want to do this?
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sounds like JJ, too, by the way.
So that you guys are what... what got us started in this.
That's cool.
So you're responsible.
Ah, yeah. Another one. You know what they say, misery loves company.
So, yeah, we got that Pontiac, got it going for Harold so he could actually race with me instead of us switching off.
Sweet. That's cool.
And he did okay with it.
Is he your older or younger brother?
He's older.
Older?
Yeah, he's 5 years older.
Who's a better racer?
I am.
He's listening. Younger, yeah, exactly.
I am. I don't know if he's listening.
Yeah, he should be.
Hey, but, younger, you're the youngest of.
I'm the
so you're the best of all the brothers.
Right. All the brothers.
That's why.
No, we had a good time racing together.
And he ended up with a Cadillac at one point.
He got it from Chad.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I forget what year it was, like an 89 or a 90 Cadillac.
Yeah, four-door.
Yeah. No, it was a two-door, but it was the big one.
The big
one.
It might as well have been four-door with the big door.
Yeah, so we put a small block in it. And,
cool. He ran that in Pahrump for a while, too.
Yeah.
With you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ran that one there, and then from that he went to, he built a Monte Carlo, big wheelbase Carlo.
Yep.
He still has that one.
No kidding.
So, yeah.
Has he been doing any racing?
No.
He don't plan on it?
We're trying to work on something for him. He's got a couple different cars, so we're trying to see if we can...
kind of maybe towards more of like what you're doing,
the hobby stocks.
That'd be cool.
He has Jerry Gentry's old 66.
Yeah, no kidding. That thing? Right. I was wondering where that ended up.
We were looking at it recently, trying to figure out how we're going to put the stock spring mount back in it. Because there's nothing back there.
Nothing
there.
That might be a fun project. You should do a race car family tree. Show where
this car ends up going.
I know, right?
That's funny. That's a good point. Because, your car still survives. Somebody else has it that's racing it. And then, you know, where they ended up at. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah, take pictures of it. And
right, because he's had cars leave him and come back to him and then go again. And, you know.
Yeah,
that would be cool. That's a good idea. It'd be cool to see where your car ended up.
I agree.
Who's got it?
Yup. But yeah. So
my problem would be end with me, and they don't go anywhere.
On with the show.
So where are they?
Everywhere. You drive by it
everywhere.
Every day and not know it.
They're spread across the valley. Trust me when I tell you.
So these aren't the same trucks that you had when Jesse had one on the frame machine?
Yes, he did. One of them is,
okay.
That was the one he had straightened out for me.
Yeah, I used his shop. He helped me straighten out that Caprice after I crashed it.
Cool.
Jesse was all our friend.
Anybody with a frame machine is racer's
friend.
He's
amazing with that frame machine.
Right.
I haven't seen anybody better yet. He taught me how to use it. That was part
hours.
Of it. He taught me how to use it. He would only help me fix mine if I straightened out another car first. And Adam Simons. That one he had on its roof at the
Ring. Oh, I got that.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
I worked on
put it on the family tree, by the way.
We're just going to call it the pit. So here's everybody else and then the pit.
The funny story with that car.
Really?
That was the deal. I had to, get this car straightened out before I could put mine on the rack. And so we were there late at night and maybe having a few beers and. So Jesse told me what to do, and so I went to work, Next morning, I come into the shop, and I'm like, all right, ready to get this off, get my car on there? And he's like, yeah, you got it set where it needs to be, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's dead on. He's like, dead on? What are you talking about? You can't leave it like that. I was like, that's what you told me to do. He's like, I had a few beers last night. He's like, we can't send that car back to him, like, dead on. We gotta change that. You need to make it a little longer here. All right.
So that album wasn't good.
No. It was perfect, too. I was so proud of myself. It was perfect on each side. And he's like, no, we can't send it back to him that way.
That's funny. I'll tell you, there's been a few nights, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning nights, we're hiding behind the door looking while we're pulling the frame.
Something's going to give a chain or the frame.
Sketchy shit.
Yeah, that's funny.
Did you like doing the stuff yourself, or did you rather have, hey, Jesse, you just take care of it?
No, I actually enjoyed it. It was, you know, I helped whenever I can with whatever he had going on.
Right.
It was pretty enjoyable. You know, that was like my home away from home for quite a while. I built that Caprice in his shop.
No kidding. That's
cool.
I know.
Gary spent some time down there.
I spent hours and hours and hours. And I mean, late at night, I'd go home at 3 or 4 in the morning, but had fun helping him and whatever it was, like you said, I helped him. And then when I wrecked my car in Havasu, he was like, hey, after we straighten this one, you can bring yours out. And that's when we were hiding behind it, when we were pulling on mine.
That wasn't the one that was like,
I could not believe it. That's why I say that. He's the best I've ever seen with a frame machine, because that thing shouldn't have been
that's
doable.
Yep.
That's
insane. That was one of the first ones.
No
one of the first ones that we straightened out.
That's crazy.
I like when he's measuring each side and he gets to the right side and he scratches his head and he goes, what are we going to do here? And I'm like, what the hell are you asking me for? You're the one that's experienced with this thing, not me.
Do you have, like, weld stuff on, like, tabs and stuff, or do you, like,
Do you remember Mike Heck's number 8 Camaro?
Yeah, it's the one that Griffith ended up
with. Yes. Well, he had wrecked it on the backstretch, and I helped straighten that car out. And let me tell you, we were pulling on that thing. It was at his shop by the corner there by the recycle.
Gotcha.
We were pulling on that thing. And the bottom hole that we had the chain in split open. And I just seen my life flash before my eyes, man.
Did it pop?
And that bar.
I didn't think of that. I was thinking
the tower.
Yeah.
The tower.
Oh, man.
Nothing came apart. It just ripped the frame.
But the
like a tree in the wind, man. I was like, I'm dead. See you in heaven. I'm good. And that was the only time I've ever been scared at that split moment working with Jesse on that frame machine.
So you don't see frame guys over 40.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's pretty scary. I've been there when a winch cable snapped.
No way.
And that thing, it's fast, and you hear it, and it's like a bullet going past your head.
Well, and
you
don't think that stuff like that's
going
to happen, but it
just
can.
Just about, I don't know, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I was at Jesse's shop. We were pulling on a car, and he takes a towel, like your bathroom towel, and throws it on the chain. And I'm like, Jesse, what in the hell good is that thing going to do? If that chain comes apart, that towel's not going to do nothing.
Well,
he said,
deaden the whip?
Yeah, he said it won't hit that E3 Corvette right there.
No,
so I'm like, okay.
That would be scary. You know, you would depend on what you're straightening out.
That's
why race cars are probably easy. Yeah, no, if you damage it, no big deal. Just keep pulling on it.
It's everything around that
right.
You don't want to damage.
That's
lateral damage.
Yeah, hours and hours, man. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
A lot of learning. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You just soak up everything because Jesse is a very, very, very good body man.
Right.
Great body man. And whatever he said, you listen to because he's been down that road several times.
Well, I hate to tell you this. We're out of time. But don't be a stranger. You know, we got some more stuff I want to talk to you about racing. When's your next race?
Possibly this weekend in Pahrump.
Possibly.
Saturday night.
So,
if not that, definitely Friday and Saturday, the 20th and the 21st in Tonopah.
Sponsors? Anybody want to?
Hogland Heifer Saloon, of course.
Okay.
Evil Twin Hair Design.
Okay.
And, government stimulus money.
Jimmy, you got to get the stimulus. Where can somebody find you? You got Facebook or a website?
I do. It's under Jim Sherrard on Facebook.
All right, cool. We'll check it out. We'll hopefully come see you race in Tonopah. Maybe we'll go make a trip, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, appreciate you coming in, Jim. It's been a little blah for me, so thank you. And don't be a stranger. We'll have you back in. And see you live next Tuesday at onwardsnow.com for your local races.